So, Graham, I first came upon, I don't know how I came upon it, but, you know, it's the internet, so it could be just having gone down some rabbit hole, you know how it is. And I landed on this article that you wrote called How to Recover from a Controlling Mother. And I was riveted. You just don't see a lot on that topic, in my opinion, online or really anywhere. And I was in the middle of writing a book of my own. This was several years ago, called The Alpha Female's Guide to Men and Marriage. And I was talking about what I called alpha women. You know, there's a spectrum there, and I get into, you know, what that means as far as being alpha, what I described at the time as alpha, which could be anything from just really hard-headed to being, in this case, like you've written about, almost abusive. And so that's how I guess I came upon the article. So I'm going to have you tell everybody about, you know, who you are and what you're about and about this website that you have where I found this article.
Okay. Well, I wear many hats, but one of them is as a confidence coach, and I created this website called The Confident Man Project, essentially to help other men like me and myself, to be honest, like I was still working through a lot of this myself, who had grown up in an environment where they'd had a very controlling mother, and that had had a whole string of effects in their life and in my life. And I was in the process of trying to work through and unravel some of the impact of that on me and how it had affected my relationships with women as an adult, with other men, just with the world in general. And I recognized that a lot of it came down to this childhood programming that I had received on the end of this connection with my mother, who used control essentially as a strategy to regulate her emotions. And the more I dived into this, the more that I saw that emotions and dealing with emotions were the key to unraveling this whole thing. So that's, if there's one thing I'd like your listeners to take away from this, it's that the answer is to learn how to deal with emotions. And one of the things about controlling people is that they use control as a strategy for regulating their own emotions by controlling their environment around them. And that's not a lot of fun to be on the receiving end of when you're a kid. The other side of this that I looked into very deeply is what traditional psychologists would call attachment theory. And to me, that explains a lot about why it's so traumatic having a mother that you can't connect to, because they're emotionally unavailable. And emotionally unavailability, and narcissism is another term for this, tends to go hand in hand with the controlling personality, because they are so unable to regulate their own emotions, they have no capacity to be empathic to the people around them, because that's a very threatening and vulnerable thing if you're actually deeply insecure inside and you're kind of protecting yourself with a shell of narcissism that protects you from this hard world out there.
So I'm going to read some quotes from these different articles, and just to tell everyone, so we're going to first cover that article that I found, which was called How to Recover from a Controlling Mother, and then that linked to an article entitled How to Recover from a Passive Father, because those two very, very often go hand in hand, and I'm going to talk a lot about that because that's a lot of what I see in my work. And then you sent me an article that was just this year in March called How to Heal Attachment Trauma, which you just mentioned. So I want to talk about that at the end, because I think they kind of, one feeds into the other. So let's start at the beginning. You wrote, I suffered from a chronic lack of self-confidence right from early childhood through most of my adult life. I'm a sensitive person and was deeply traumatized by the never-ending conflict and hostility in my parents' relationship. My mother was and still is the dominant force in my family of origin. Highly intelligent, but emotionally withheld, she was always quick to criticize and would never back down in any of the petty arguments with my father that characterized their relationship. He, on the other hand, was relatively passive and was often driven to explode with frustration due to his inability to express his emotions or to handle my mother's frequent put-downs. Our home did not feel like a safe or fun place to be much of the time. My two elder sisters both dealt with this in their own way, leaving me feeling excluded and abandoned a lot of the time. My sensitivity in this situation was always invalidated and caused me a great deal of grief and felt like a genuine weakness. So
Cool. Let's all take a deep breath because that's pretty heavy stuff.
It is. Cool. Yeah. And it's probably, and I know it's been a while since you've written that. And tell me, before we talk about that, how are things for you today compared to when you wrote that? Has it changed? And by the way, is your mom still alive and you have a relationship with her?
My mom is still alive. My father actually died in February this year, and that's a whole other story.
Yeah.
But the process of that brought up a lot of this childhood stuff for me again. So one thing that I learned, and one of my mentors used this metaphor of the onion, that there's layers of the emotional onion that you work through,
mm-hmm.
and then you get to the next layer, and then you work through that.
Yeah, I've heard that.
And I remember saying, if someone uses that onion metaphor on me one more time, I'm just going to scream. Like, God, it really used to piss me off.
Yeah.
But it's totally accurate, and even hearing those words that I wrote read back to me, like, that's such a succinct and accurate and emotive description of what it was like, that it still moves me that, you know, I went through that. And there are other people that are going through that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So where things are now for me is I have moved on. I've done quite a lot of inner work myself. I thought to be a really effective coach, I needed to do a lot of my own inner work. And I still believe that, because to heal these attachment wounds requires, like, it's an interpersonal wound, so it requires an interpersonal connection to heal. I don't think you can heal an attachment wound just by individual meditation or writing or all those other things, which are great things. I still do those, but you actually need to connect to other humans to heal an attachment rupture. And so now what I would say is different between when I wrote that and now is I have some friends in my life that we have real meaningful conversations about how we feel, and we don't filter it so much. It's not about trying to make this person like me. It's about being honest and being real with them. And when you're in relationships like that, it's challenging if you've had these attachment wounds to begin with, because it doesn't feel safe initially. And so that's why there's that layer of the onion thing going on. You got to get to a point where you feel safe with somebody before you can really tell them how you feel deep down. And that's a vulnerable thing. And it's exactly the thing that a narcissistic mother, for instance, is avoiding. And so being around that doesn't initially feel safe. It's actually our natural way of being, to be open and to be expressing how we're feeling. But if you're brought up in an environment where that wasn't going on around you, you end up internalizing that.
And I want to point out, because I think it's really important, that there's a definite spectrum for this type of person or this type of behavior in that, you know, when you talk about somebody who's controlling, it could be, I mean, it's so common among women today for a whole slew of other reasons. And I write about that a lot, where it doesn't necessarily devolve into, you know, anything that could be construed as abusive. It's just sort of a general need to take control. And as you say, which I completely agree, that's really just a form of anxiety, and that it's ultimately covering up this fear that you have that something isn't going to work the way you need it to work in order for you to feel safe and grounded and all of that. So the fact that you point out, you know, I think it's important. So just a little background. So my mother was critical and controlling, and that's why this interests me so much, and compelled me to write a story that I did, or it wasn't really a story. It was a self-help book, but I have, it's sort of part memoir. And there are levels to that. Like, I don't know that your experience was my experience, but the same sort of general idea could, you know, is a fair description. And it becomes very clear, doesn't it, when you're on the receiving end of that for 18 years, or, well, longer, but I mean, as far as being in the home, at least in my case, you can see the pattern of when it becomes bad, it's always that feeling of being out of control. So it's taking control because you are out of control of your own emotions and you don't know how to solve the problem in front of you. So rather than have a plan for that, you go on the attack, so to speak. Is that fair? Would you say you describe it the same way?
Yeah, that's some pretty good metaphor. And attack. So I've studied a lot about how the nervous system works because I recognize that this is a biophysical kind of thing we're dealing with. And when you're under attack, we have this fight, flight, or freeze response that we have. So on one level, there's fight or flight. If you're under attack, you either you fight back or you run. And it's an evolutionary thing that we've evolved. But even on a deeper level, there's also a freeze response. And the deepest therapies that I'm aware of for dealing with this stuff are somatic, which means they deal with what's going on physiologically in the person's body, not just in their mind or in their thoughts. And the reason why this somatic stuff is important is because it allows you to unfreeze this freeze response. And when we're under attack, like you say, and I've thought many times whether this is like a conscious strategy that the controlling person is using or whether they've just learned that it works, so they do it. I think they've just learned that it works, so they do it. But if a person can overwhelm your nervous system and put you into freeze mode, it makes you very compliant.
The full interview is available as part of the Confident Man program. It goes on to cover how to heal attachment trauma, how to release your nervous system from freeze mode, how to set boundaries with a controlling mother, how to self-parent your own wounded inner child, and how to restore self-confidence by learning to regulate your own emotions.